I'm glad he's holding us, aren't you? Amen. Thank the Lord. Open your Bibles, please, to two passages of Scripture. What I don't finish this morning, I'll finish tonight. And we'll get you out of here on time in a little bit. You continue to speak to Ms. Gwen if you want to. And maybe just a few minutes at the end that you'll have a chance if you want her to tell anybody hello in heaven for you. Matthew, I'm going to stay right here, brother. I didn't put my lapel mic on. I'll stay right here. But if you want her to tell anybody hello for you, and of course we might all get to go before she gets there. We might be there to welcome her when she goes through the gate. But praise the Lord. Amen. There's a verse in the Bible that said, for the fellow said, let me die the death of the righteous. Old Brother Avery Rogers, who was my mentor, preached many, many years ago in the plains of Texas and all across there. And he talked about dying one time in a message, and he said, we don't see people die anymore. He said, but I saw them die many times. He said, there's a vast difference between a lost man or lost woman dying than a saved man or saved woman. Now, and I don't have any problem with it, that we have morphine, and Ms. Gwen's having to have some morphine. But he said back before they had morphine, you saw people die a real death. And he said, I've seen lost people screaming, and you had to hold them on the bed. And they say, my feet's on fire. My feet's on fire. Please help me. My feet's on fire. He said, I've seen them cry and scream and holler when it felt like the demons were pulling at them, trying to get them into hell. And he said, I've been with the saints of God who had absolutely no medication. And he said there was such a sweetness and a presence of God in that place. And they just worshiped the Lord. They began to see things and see people we couldn't see. And they said, can you hear that? Oh, it's the most beautiful singing I've ever heard. Can you see that? It's the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. And there he is. And he said, I don't know how many times I've had somebody to say, there he is. And when they said that, they closed their eyes and were gone. The Lord said, I'll go prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you into myself. There where I am, there you may be also. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. And then I want you to look at the book of Matthew. I'm going to read two passages of Scriptures, and I'll share some things with you quickly this morning. Roger is teaching me some things. Brother Roger is a great student of the Word of God. Brother Roger Romito, last week, and he did the men's fellowship. He spoke just a few minutes. I mean, just a few minutes, but it was powerful. And he talked about some of our church family who's had a loved one to die, and he's talking about loving your family, loving your mate. And he said, all those family members, if you'd ask them if they could have just five minutes more with their loved one, would they like to have it? And they'd say, certainly. I wish I had five more minutes just to tell them how much I love them, how much I care. And then, of course, he applied that truth that you and I, doesn't take long to show our love and tell people we love them, but we sure need to do it now. And I'm sure glad that God let Ms. Gwen be here. I know she knows her church loves her and she loves you, but I'm sure glad she was here. So I'm not going to take really long this morning. My time's gone, and I'm not going to keep you long, and I want Brad to come back and sing one more song. But I want you to look with me. I'm going to read first in the book of Matthew, and then I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter of Matthew chapter 16. Brad quoted this last night, talked about it, and gave the story of the place there at Caesarea Philippi, up where the gates of hell are, where they offered to the god Pan. But I want to just read the text this morning in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He's just testified that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood didn't show you that. The Holy Spirit of God made it real. And so if Jesus were in this place this morning to look on him physically, you wouldn't see any difference between him and anybody else. But the Holy Spirit of God can reveal him as the Son of God to you. And the Holy Spirit of God still has that ministry. You'll only know him as the Son of God unless the Holy Spirit of God does it. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me, and no man comes to me except the Spirit of God draw him. And when the Spirit of God lets you see yourself and let you see the Savior, he'll draw you to him in wonderful grace. But the next verse says this. He says to Simon Peter, that testimony you just gave about me being the Son of God, he said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, which is a little stone, and upon this rock, and I believe he's pointing to himself, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want to emphasize to you this morning as we turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, a new vision of the love of Christ for the church. And look what he says here in this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5. I was going to read a good bit of this because it's wonderful. It talks about the relationship between a husband and wife. And the analogy is it's the same relationship that Christ has with his church. But for the sake of time, would you please look with me at verse 25, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. The Bible said, husbands, you ought to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would help me in these few moments. Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would speak to men, women, boys, and girls. Lord, I pray that every person in this building that could not face what Ms. Gwen's facing with the confidence and with the peace that she has would understand that what she has is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of all peace. And by trusting him as her Savior and loving him these years, our Father, she has that peace of God that passes all understanding. I would pray that every family member of hers and all of our church family and friends who are gathered here and the vast media audience this morning would know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And God, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know I love the church. I love this church, but I love the body of Christ, the church. He died singular, it says here, for the church. Around the world, if you're in the Philippines or Mexico or anywhere in the world, there are redeemed people who've been saved. And when they were saved according to the word of God, they were added to the body of Christ, which is the bride of Christ, which is the church. God added them to the church, and he added you to the church. And when you got saved, you did more than join a local church, whatever denomination it may have been. But if you genuinely got saved, you became part of the church. And in this passage of Scripture, I got just a few little things here I want to share with you, 7, 8, or 9. But I'm going to just give you the main points, and maybe tonight I'll build a little flesh to them. But in the first place, when I look at this, number one, I see Christ's compassion for the church. He says to husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and died for it. Everything that came after that word is a result of that word, love. He died for us because he loved us. He saved us because he loved us. He keeps us because he loves us. He provides for us because he loves us. He's preparing a place in heaven because he loves us. And he's taking us home one of these days because he loves us. And he loves us with an everlasting love. Christ loved the church. And I'm going to tell you, if you know him, you ought to love the church. I noticed this, and I don't want to get into it right now, but he said he loved the church and died for it. Now, Christ died. If we believe like we most of the time say we believe, that the Lord Jesus had instructed them not to tarry from Jerusalem after his death and resurrection, but to remain there until they received the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit of God. And there in that upper room, the Holy Spirit of God came in. And most Bible scholars say that is the birth of the New Testament church, the bride of Christ. But Christ, it says in this passage, when he died for it. Not yet visible, not yet organized, not yet ministering for the church. He loved it and died for it before anybody ever saw the church or knew anything about the church. But that's true of every believer. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He loved you before you were ever born. And certainly he died for you while you were yet a sinner. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even back then, he loved us. He loved us. He loved us. And listen, here's the amazing thing. He loved us knowing how we would treat his word. He loved us knowing how we would treat his church. He loved us knowing how we would, many of us, take his name in vain. But he loved us anyway. While we were yet sinners. People say, Brother Billy, I got to do this, do that before I can get saved. You don't have to do one thing before you get saved. He knows all about you. He knew every sin you was going to commit when he died. And he does it because he loves you. It is meritless love. It is amazing grace. Not one person in this building deserves to go to heaven. Not one of us. But he loved us. He set his love on us. It is unmerited. It is unmotivated love. He didn't do it because of what he's going to do in us or see in us. He just loved us. He loved us, and he loved us fully. It is measureless love. You can't measure the love he has for us. It is everlasting love. It never waxes or wanes. It's never less nor more. He set his love on us. It is a divine, holy love. And he doesn't love me more when I do good than love me less when I do bad. He loves me. And he loves me daytime and night. He loves me in the sunshine and the rain. He loves me in sickness and in health. He said this, I love them. I will never, ever leave them nor forsake them. He loved you. Now, when he's talking about the church, Ms. Gwen's got it right. It has nothing to do with this building. It is this group of people sitting around in here and gathered around the world who worship the Lord Jesus Christ that he purchased with his own blood. Now, notice not only his compassion for the church, but notice the cost of that love. It says he loved the church and he gave himself for it. He gave himself for it. His love, to set his love on us, cost him his life. He gave his life to us. And what an admonition to husbands. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I am convinced that many Christians, husbands and wives, don't understand the concept of what it means to really love somebody like Christ loved us. He loved us. And what a cost he paid. He died for you, gave his life blood for you. He suffered on that cross for you. The stripes, the crown of thorns, everything. That's his love. And those drops of blood that fell from the cross said, I love you. I love you, written in red, somebody said on a song. He loves you. The cost of his love. Oh, listen, it cost him his very life that you might have life because he loved you and he wanted you to be where he's at for all eternity. But there's no way in the world you could go with your sin. And there was absolutely nothing you could do about your sin. You see, well, Brother Billy, I'm going to do better from here on out. I'm going to try to live like Ms. Gwen's lived. I'm going to do you a bit of good. Because if you started right now and if you could find all the 700 some commands in the Bible and live according to every one of those commands, you still wouldn't go to heaven because there was never a law given that could give life and you're dead in trespasses and sin. Besides that, if you live the rest of your life a perfect life, the Bible said God requires that which is past. What will you do about those sins that you committed yesterday or even this morning or last week or last month? You can't go back and undo a thing, but God requires that which is past. But the Bible said that when he died that all of our sins were placed on him. And when he died, he paid this sin debt. Oh, listen, you say it cost him his life. It did. But it cost him another awesome thing. On that cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In eternity past, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It says in the Word of God that he, that is Christ, was daily the delight of God the Father. Always. They were in perfect harmony. They had no insufficiencies. They didn't need a thing. Perfect peace, perfect joy, just in their own person. But on that cross, because he loved you so much, he was cut off by the Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because he bore our sin, and God judged our sin in the person of his own Son. You say, Brother Billy, I don't want to get saved. Well, you're enjoying right now the benefits of Christ and of God the Father that you don't even know about, though you're not saved. You breathe, you walk, you laugh, you experience love of a family. But when God is cut off from you in a place called hell, when you die and you're separated from all that God's given you, though you don't know Him, you don't even love Him, you'll experience what it means to be without God and without hope. You'll be in a place called hell for all eternity where there's no peace, no rest, and there's weeping and wailing all the time. You'll beg to die, but you cannot die. The pain will never end, and you'll be there for all eternity. And what He did for you is not only was He separated from the Father, but the Bible said He tasted death for all men. He suffered your hell. On that cross, He cried, "I thirst." He was separated away from the Father. It cost Him something to love us. And thank God He was willing to pay the price. Why? The Bible said that He suffered all of that. And He looked down through time and He saw the travail of His soul. Travail like a woman in birth process. He saw the results of what He was going to do on the cross. He saw the day that Ms. Gwen would, as a young girl, turn her heart over to Him and receive Him as her Savior. He saw this day, and He saw another day that you and I may not get to be a part of. It's that day when she enters the gate and she sees Him and her family, and what rejoicing. And I got an idea that the Lord will be there. And it's happening over and over again by the millions, no doubt. But He sees the joy of a new body. He sees the joy of endless fellowship. He sees the joy of all of that. And He's looked down through time and He said, "I'll do this now on the cross because I know what joy to bring to the one I love in the future." He loved you. He loved you. And my dear friend, I just tell you, a new vision of His love, of how much He loved us. Oh, listen, I'm going to just stop. I got 9 points. But He loved us. I note His compassion. I notice the cost of His love. I'm going to skip down to the consummation of His love. The Bible said He loved us that He might wash us and that He might sanctify us and cleanse us and that He might present us to Himself. This is not the end. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved. Bob Harrington used to say, if there was no heaven or hell, I'm sure glad I got saved. He said, I'm having the time of my life. This has been a joy to me to be here today. I feel blessed and honored that God let me be here in the building. And I'm glad that God let Ms. Gwen come and their family. What a blessing. But this is not the end. He didn't die on the cross so we'd get to go to church. He died on that cross so He could wash us and cleanse us and sanctify us and present us one of these days to Himself. The consummation is in the Word of God as well. I'll turn over to the book of Revelation and read it to you just real quick here. I want to read 2 passages of scriptures and I'll be through. Revelation chapter number 19, looking at the consummation. What's this all about? Why did He love us? Why did He die for us? Because He was looking forward to this time. Looking forward to this time. In Revelation 19, I read verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And yet you know that all of our righteousness is His righteousness. Verse 9, and He saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. And then over in Revelation, a little further, chapter 21, and He says this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'm telling you right now, there's coming a day, the consummation, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and when He presents us spotless without blemish at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's where we all heading to if we know Him as Savior and Lord. If you're not saved, you're heading the wrong way. You're going the other way. This is not the end. I love it. I'm glad I'm saved. I've enjoyed being saved. I've enjoyed pastoring. I've enjoyed preaching. I love to read His Word. I love to pray. But one of these days, we'll see Him face to face. One of these days, there'll be no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. One of these days. Brad, you come on. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. I want you to know Him this morning. The only way you can go to heaven is to know Him. And I want to invite you this morning, if you're here, man, woman, boy, girl, will you take a simple step of faith this morning? And will you come down and let somebody lead you, pray with you around this altar? We got guys and ladies who will pray with you here. If God spoke to your heart and you know you're not saved, but right now you'd like to know for sure that heaven's your home, I want to invite you to step out by faith and come and trust Christ. I'm going to let you be seated. I want Brad to sing this song, and then we may have you to stand in just a moment. But I want you to know it's not just for a few, it's for you. God loved you, and He wants you to be saved. Will you trust Him? And if you're a Christian, I'm going to deal with that more tonight, but God's doing a work in our heart and life, and I want us to be just as close to Him as we can get so He can accomplish all He wants to do and use us for His glory. What a testimony Miss Gwen is. She has been in the hospital, wherever she's at, and I thank God for her. But I tell you, my heart's desire is that you would know Him. Brad's going to sing this song. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit will speak to hearts right now, men, women, boys, and girls. Help them not to be able to sit where they are. You said in the day of your power, your people may be made willing. I pray, God, by your power and by your grace, that you draw some this morning to step out in faith and come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't, Lord, nothing stop them. Nothing will stop them. Not the crowd, not anything, but today they've come to that crisis point when they'll bow before Jesus and give Him their heart and be saved. And Lord, I thank you for that. God bless your people. Many of your people may need to come get around this altar. God, speak to their heart.